And everybody there got 3 to 5 or 10 gifts, and you didn't get not one single gift. That would be kind of, you think, wow. Everybody else gave everybody else gifts to where that everybody got 3 or 4 or 5 gifts, and I didn't get a single gift. Nobody loves me. Well, that's the way it appears, isn't it? Well, Jesus loves you, but you got to send those gifts ahead if you want them to be there. You got to produce fruit on the kingdom for the kingdom of God on earth for those treasures to be in heaven. If you don't produce fruit down here, you're going to have no rewards when you get to heaven. So, work. And I believe you will want to do more good works the more you learn about this. Now, in Luke 6:32, it says, "But if you love those who love you." Now, it's real easy to love people that love you. But he said, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners love those who love them." And that's true. Very easy to love when somebody loves you, even if both of you is mean. "But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same there. And if you lend to those to whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Wow. I think about the way people do things. You know, you go down today and you buy something on credit, on the credit card. When you buy things on a credit card, if you let it lapse beyond what the 1 month deal is, some of those credit cards will charge you anywhere from, 15 or 20 up to 30% interest. I can't even imagine wanting something bad enough that I would pay 20 and 30% interest for it. Not me. If I have to have something and can't pay for it right then, if I gotta have it, I ain't gonna put it on one of them high dollar credit cards. I may go down to the bank and borrow the money and pay 7 or 8% interest scattered out over 6 months or whatever. But I am not going to go buy something on a credit card and pay 25 or 30% interest. I will do without it first. I'm just not going to waste my money like that. So, anyway. "For even sinners lend to sinners to receive back as much," because that's what they're doing. 20, 30% interest, that's what they're out there for. They're loaning you the money so they can get back abundance. But Jesus tells us what to do, so we'll receive some rewards. Look what he says here. "But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return." Somebody says, "Gee, I can't do that." Well, listen to what God says. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High." You want to build your treasures in heaven? You want to even have rewards on this earth right now? If you do, you do it God's way, and He will bless you. I'm telling you, He will bless you. "But your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High God. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil." God's good to everybody. "Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." We're supposed to be just like Christ. Then in verse 37, he says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged." Now, I hear that real often. You need to know when he says, "Judge not, and you shall not be judged." This is talking about judging not the lost world. You and I are not supposed to judge a lost world. Now, if we have a brother in church that's doing something wrong, we are to judge him. If we see a brother that's lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, or anything that he's doing that does not line up with the Word of God, you and I are supposed to go to him and tell him what he's doing wrong and try our best to convert him over and win him back. But right here where Jesus says, judge not, and you shall not be judged, he's talking about judging the world. We are not to judge those people. Now then, he says, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Then in verse 38, Luke 6:38, think of this principle. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now think about that. If that's true, we are supposed to be tithers, number one. We give God 10% of his money to the ministry or the church that we decide to. If you're going to church, if you go to a church, you need to give God 10% of your income to the church that you attend. That's where it needs to go. Then if you want to give beyond that, then you can give to the poor and the needy. God says, anybody that gives to the poor and the needy loans to me. And he said, I will return back to you with good interest. So you'll get the highest rate of return on your money when you do it God's way of anything you can imagine. That's why I give away all of my media material. God told me, given it shall be given unto you. And he has certainly paid for everything. I don't ever have to ask anybody for money. I just give it away, and God pays the bills. It makes it so wonderful. But the Lord says, give, and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. Shall man give into your bosom. For with the same measure you use to give, shall it be returned to you. So, if you want to be blessed and receive rewards on this earth, you make sure you tithe in church, and then you give other ministries money, or to the poor and the needy money. And as you do, God, according to what you've given, he will bless you and bless you abundantly. When you give to that church, when you write your tithe check or to the church or the ministry you attend, don't just write the check and throw it in. Say, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the privilege to give this into your kingdom. I want to thank you for blessing me with a return on my seed. I am sowing seed into the kingdom, and I want to thank you that this seed is going to come up and produce a great harvest in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, and he'll do it for you. Praise God. Now then, the more we understand about the judgment, the more we understand about the judgment, the more good deeds we will do for people. That's just a fact of life. Now, in Luke chapter 14, starting verse 12, Luke 14:12, then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends and your brothers or your relatives, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. Wow. And you will be blessed. Direct promises from God. Because they cannot repay you. They cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Just think, the people that have done that, whenever the resurrection or the just, when that happens at the end of this particular age, when the Lord shall come back with his saints and his angels and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we go to the judgment seat of Christ, he will know everything we've done in his name and for what reason we've done it, and he will record us. He will reward us accordingly to what we've done. It's so awesome. What are we to command others to do? Well, let's go to 1 Timothy 6:17. It says there, command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty. Doesn't just say ask them. It says command them not to be haughty. Command them. Somebody said, well, good grief, I can't command somebody. Well, yeah, you can if you believe God's word. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, thinking they're somebody or better than anybody else, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What does the Lord give us? Those of us especially that are obedient to serve Him and worship Him, He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So we should not be in need. If we're walking in obedience to God's Word, if we're doing what He says, if we're going to church, if we're reading the Word, if we're putting God first in everything we do. But I am completely convinced that most people, is just like I was most of my life, I didn't have a clue what it meant to put God first and to love Him and serve Him. But when you do, these are the things that will come upon you. Then He says, He gives us all things richly to enjoy, and let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So when you give to God, when you give to His people, when you do what He says, you will store up for yourselves a good foundation for the time to come. Well, if there's anything I want stored up for me, it's a good foundation when the Lord comes again, and that I may lay hold of eternal life. I know there's a lot of people that think they have eternal life with God, and they may not have. They may have eternal life with the devil. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is only for the believing Christian. Only for the believing Christian. Since the punishment we deserve has already been paid for by Christ. The judgment seat will not be to judge sin. It will be to pass out the rewards we have earned while in the body here on earth. On the other hand, the great white throne judgment mentioned in the book of Revelation is for the lost people. Now then, those lost people are going to suffer terribly. And we're going to talk about that in the next session. But you need to remember that the judgment seat of Christ is only for the believing Christian and the ones that are obedient, has all your sins repented of. And if you will walk holy before Him, He will bless you at that judgment wonderfully.
These teachings can be yours free and postpaid. Call us at 940-242-2106 or contact us on the web at www.tlsm.org. TLSM.org. Remember, they're free and postpaid. Jesus is Lord.